What?
College matters.
What?
College matters. Matters.
Really?
For sure. College matters.
Alma matters. Matters.
It was so weird because like 2 years ago, I had never read my poetry, but now I was like getting invited to these big events. So I wanted to like make those connections and to just like see what it was like there. And probably like my biggest event that I was invited to was I drove up to Sacramento and I read for the inauguration of California's Attorney General, and Gavin Newsom was there.
That is Anna Yang, 2023 Koch Scholar and a recent graduate of Notre Dame High School in San Jose, California. Hello, I'm your host, Venkat Raman. With this episode, we continue a select set of conversations with high schoolers about their outlook for their futures. We are joined by Anna Yang, who will be a freshman at Stanford University in the fall of 2023. Anna started writing poems at the age of 6. She found the process of writing poems to be very creative and loved the fact that it didn't have to be literal. Her love for poems led her to becoming the Youth Poet Laureate for Santa Clara County in her junior year of high school. In this podcast, Anna talks about her passion for poetry, beekeeping, winning the Coca-Cola Scholarship, her college search process, and her advice for high schoolers. Now, before we jump into the podcast, here are the high fives, five highlights from the podcast.
The poem I wrote in that class was called Lion Storms, and my mom thought it was really good. So she like encouraged me to submit it to Highlights Magazine, which was a magazine that like we had a subscription to, and like there was poetry, there's a poetry page. So it was picked up there. So my first published poem was in Highlights Magazine when I was around 6 years old. Yeah, I am a beekeeper. So I guess like a lot of people ask me how I got started beekeeping because it's kind of weird. Yeah. But when I was younger, I was actually afraid of bees. So my dad, he went to like a workshop at his company that where like a beekeeper came in and taught him like about beekeeping, and he was very interested. So he brought home a hive. The Koch Scholarship really values like community impact and like as well as like academic like success and curiosity. And I feel like there's just a lot of people with who probably have the same awards as me, who probably do like very similar extracurriculars. But I think like what made me stand out was like my story. Already, I feel like it's made such an impact. Like at the Koch Scholars Weekend, there were so many very accomplished students who are also like, who also had a similar mindset to make an impact in their communities. And it was really interesting to see how they all did that in their own ways. What I wish somebody told me in high school or when I just started high school is that you can like make your own path. You can do whatever you want. Because I feel like people always told me like, oh, you have to do like computer science or you have to like choose one and stick with it. But I feel like it's really benefited me to be able to explore all of my different interests rather than like choosing a spike.
These were the high fives brought to you by
College Matters.
Alma Matters.
Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. For my newsletter, visit almamatters.substack.com. Now, I'm sure you want to hear the entire podcast with Anna. So without further ado, here's the podcast with Anna Yang.
If you're ready, we can jump right in.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So cool. So maybe the best place to start is by telling us a little bit about yourself. So maybe tell us who you are.
So I'm Anna. I will be a freshman at Stanford, and I recently graduated from Notre Dame High School, which is a high school in the Bay Area. And I've always grown up in the Bay Area, and I'm still staying here for college.
So cool. So tell us about your high school experience. I mean, what kind of interests did you have? What kind of courses? What did you do outside of class? Just give us a feel for that.
As I said before, I went to Notre Dame High School, which is a small, private, all-girls Catholic school. And since it was a pretty small school, the coursework was very straightforward. It had like the basic AP classes in like English, modern language, sciences, and math, but nothing like that was super like fancy. So there was always like a pretty clear progression for my courses throughout my 4 years. So I just always knew like what I would be taking. But in terms of my interest, I was mostly very into the social studies and computer science, which is like a weird mix, but I took a lot of courses and I attended programs outside of school as well that like tried to explore the interdisciplinary nature of computer science and how it could be used to like help the world in a social context. So the two like major programs that I went to that really left an impact were AI for All, which I took at Seattle University. And basically what we did there was we used like machine learning algorithms and natural language processing to detect like hate crimes in police reports. And then at BWSI, which is a MIT program called like Beaverworks Summer Institute, I took the course on remote sensing for disaster response. So that was like using drone footage and like large data sets to help first responders in natural disasters. And then at school, I also took journalism, which was like a elective, but it's the class that makes the school newspaper, which I was like very passionate about. And then at school, I was also part of the AAPI Coalition, which is a new group that was actually created in my junior year. Where it was in response to like the Atlanta shootings targeted against Asian women. And we wanted to create a group that could support AAPI students on campus and educate non-AAPI students about like our identity and like what makes us different. And that was, I was one of the founding members of that. So, and then when I was a senior, I became co-president. And then I was also the president of Girls Who Code. when I joined Girls Who Code, it was actually a very small group of people, maybe like five kids. And it was like a good community to collaborate on code and stuff. But when I became like a senior, I tried to get more people involved and like recruited a lot of kids. So that was also one of my bigger projects at school.
Tell us a little bit about poetry. How'd you get into that?
So when I was young, I was always kind of like a writer. My mom bought me like a little diary or journal and she wanted me to write in it every day. And I would like come up with random little stories. And so I was always like interested in writing and I had like quite an imaginative mind. And in my fourth grade class, that was the first time I ever wrote a poem. And that was really interesting to me because it was about like metaphors and how like in a poem, like nothing has to be literal. It can be like super like creative, which really resonated with me. So the poem I wrote in that class was called Lion Storms. And my mom thought it was really good. So she like encouraged me to submit it to Highlights Magazine, which was a magazine that like we had a subscription to. And like there was poetry, there's a poetry page. So it was picked up there. So my first published poem was in Highlights magazine when I was around 6 years old.
Wow.
Yeah, so that was like, it felt like the writing that I had could actually be shared with the world. So I continued writing a lot of poetry and like submitting to magazines and like online journals and like awards. So in my sophomore year of high school, that was when I first applied to be the Santa Clara County Youth Poet Laureate. And yeah, the first year I applied, it was actually a new program. So yeah, the person who would have been selected was the first Santa Clara County Youth Poet Laureate. And yeah, that year I was chosen as a finalist. And uh-huh, finalists, basically there's like 10 finalists. You do the interview process and you go to the commencement ceremony, and then they announced who was chosen as Youth Poet Laureate there. Uh-huh. And I was not chosen that year, which is like completely fine.
Yeah.
And I'm actually like really grateful that I wasn't chosen, because actually the first time I read my poetry out loud was at the judging, which is kind of mm-hmm, wild. So this was like, I was completely new to like spoken poetry, like spoken word slam, and just like
yeah,
putting my face to my poem.
Yeah.
And I feel like it was like a really scary experience, but as I like went on with it, I went to coffee shops and I like talked to the youth poets who were also involved. It felt like more like both daunting and like very empowering to be yeah, speaking like your poetry to an audience where they clap and they like tell you, oh, your poem was so good, like I resonated with that, or like, oh, I was able to learn so much about whatever topic you were talking about through the poem. Uh-huh. So I feel like poetry before, it was more about like writing something to be published, but then now after I like got the experience of like reading my poetry out loud, it was more about like educating the community and telling people my story. So kind of like a funny story was I never had participated in a slam competition before, and mm-hmm, some of the finalists and people on the program's organizing team organized a game where all of us had never performed slam poetry before, and we competed in San Francisco and we actually won first place. So that was kind of crazy. Yeah, we're like, all of us, it was our first time, we were all super nervous, but I guess like the poetry speaks for itself, and that was definitely very like confidence boosting, where I felt like, oh yeah, I can totally do this. And then the next year I applied to be Youth Poet Laureate again, and I was chosen as the Youth Poet Laureate. And that experience being Youth Poet Laureate was definitely even more confidence boosting and empowering, where I felt like just having the title of Youth Poet Laureate, like yeah, adults would listen to what I was saying, or like yeah, I would be invited to big events where like, normally, I feel like nobody would care what I had to say, but just being named like Youth Poet Laureate, it kind of like gave a bigger weight to my words, where people would actually listen.
Now, do you have any quote unquote official duties as a poet laureate, or do you was that a ceremonial thing, or was it more of a you know, like a competition?
Mm-hmm. It's kind of both. I feel like the organizing team for the organization or for the position doesn't really want it to be more of a competition. They want it to be like a gathering of youth poets in the area where you can form like a physical community of poetry. So as Youth Poet Laureate, I had like kind of duties, but not really. It was like as much as I wanted to be involved in the community, I could, but then mm-hmm, also like in the moments I was busy, I didn't have to show up for anything. But mostly my duties were like people would request for me to go read my poetry at events, or to send my poetry to like be published in books or anthologies. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I tried to take advantage of those opportunities a lot, where like it was so weird because like 2 years ago I had never read my poetry, but now I was like getting invited to these big events. So I wanted to like make those connections and to just like see what it was like there. And probably like my biggest event that I was invited to was I drove up to Sacramento and I read for the inauguration of California's Attorney General, and Gavin Newsom was there. So that was kind of crazy. But yeah, that was probably like one of my bigger events.
What was your poem about, the one that you won Poet Laureate?
So the poem that I read to the judges, I read like two poems, and both of them were about my Chinese identity and kind of like the complexities with being Asian American and feeling like you have a family in China and then a family in the US, and then like how do you consolidate these identities, and just like how I felt like, especially during COVID, like I couldn't visit my family, where like before we would have maybe visited like once every 2 years, where I felt like I was drifting away from the Chinese like part of my identity. So a lot of my poems kind of center around like who I am and the experiences that have shaped who I am today, and then also like tying that to just like more general experiences where people can relate to me, or even if they're not like Chinese American, maybe they're like immigrants from other countries or have roots in other countries but were born in the US, where they can kind of see the common thread throughout humanity and be able to like cross those barriers, where like maybe like an Asian American so similar to like a Mexican American, but you can see the similarities in our experiences.
I'm assuming you're continuing writing to write poetry, and where do you want this to go? Is it going to be a thing that you use to communicate your feeling and talk about yourself, or is this you think you want it to grow in some capacity?
That's a really good question. I feel like in the past, in high school, and like especially my senior year, I feel like I've been tabling poetry, where it's more of like a hobby and there's other more important things in my life to worry about than poetry. Now that I've like finished my college application process, like all of that stress is kind of over, I do want to go back to writing poetry more often and just getting out of my rut. And in terms of like in college and beyond, I don't think I'll be studying poetry in college, but I definitely still want it to be a big part of my life. Like I don't want to lose this part of myself, especially since I feel like poetry has been such a great tool to express myself and to take kind of like the mental burden off of my shoulders and just like put it onto paper. So it's also definitely been like a mental health thing.
So what is this beekeeping? You're a beekeeper. Is that real? Is that what you do?
Yeah, I am a beekeeper. So I guess like a lot of people ask me how I got started beekeeping, because it's kind of weird. Yeah. But when I was younger, I was actually afraid of bees. So my dad, he went to like a workshop at his company where like a beekeeper came in and taught him like about beekeeping, and he was very interested. So he brought home a hive, and my mom was like kind of skeptical, but he said like, he said that he would promise to take care of the bees by himself. So my mom let him keep them. And then just like throughout the years, he taught me how to become a beekeeper as well and how to take care of the hives. So it's kind of like a family thing now.
So that's great. That's great. Is this something that you guys have in the backyard, or where are the bees?
Yeah, the bees are kept in the backyard. But actually, so I live in Campbell. When we initially got bees, we lived in Saratoga. And in Saratoga, the bee ordinances or the policies on how you could keep bees were much more relaxed. So when we moved to Campbell, the Campbell codes are very outdated. So we, because of our property size, we actually were not allowed to keep bees. But with like, since like the, it was like the city hall knew that the codes were very outdated. So it was kind of like a don't ask, don't tell policy. So we did not tell, we did not ask. And then, but then like it was fine for a couple of years. And then one of the neighbors that, usually we try to keep like very good relationships with the neighbors. Like we give them free honey and like, they really like it. But one of our, like one of the neighbors that aren't adjacent to our house, complained about it. So we actually had to move our hives away. And right now, I'm trying to work with the city hall to amend their ordinances so we can bring back our hives.
So tell us a little bit about how you went about looking for a college.
Yeah. So in the college search process, I was mostly looking at the location. Like, I really did not want to go to a college in a rural area. I felt like that'd be so boring. So I wanted a college that was like not in the city, that was not in a very rural area, but it was close enough to a big city where like there would still be nightlife and like fun. So I was mainly looking at, like, I thought of Stanford as like my dream school. Like, I've been, since I've been living in the Bay Area, like my parents always took me to Stanford as a kid, and I would see like all the people having fun there and think like, I want to be one of them. So that was Stanford. But other schools, I really liked the LA area and and like the Claremont colleges, which were like kind of close to LA, but not too close. And then also like New York City looked very nice. And I was interested in like Northwestern because it wasn't too close to Chicago, but it was close enough. So things like that. And then I also thought about like the flexibility in major selection and like not having to declare your major until later in the year, because since like I have so many random interests, it would be hard to choose one like right off the bat and have to stick with that. And then I guess like the last thing I was really considering was the diversity of backgrounds and of like thought and ideology in the student body. And I feel like diversity is really important, and I wanted to get that experience of like talking to people with experiences that I've never even thought of in college.
Awesome. And how did you settle on Stanford then?
So I actually applied early, REA to, and I got, so I was very excited about that. And as I said before, like Stanford was my dream school. So I pretty much like immediately knew I wanted to go. And like, I don't know, like what's not to love about Stanford. And I guess like, I really enjoyed the interview I had with Stanford. I think this that they ever interviewed Bay Area candidates. And I feel like that was very important because the person that I met with, he was very nice. Like he had, it seemed like he was very interested in what I had to say. And he definitely had like very interesting life experiences that he shared with me. And I feel like I really want to be in a community of people where they all have like their own unique like quirks or the unique interests that they can share with me and like talk hours about, and that I can share with them as well. So I feel like Stanford is that kind of community.
Okay, so now let's talk about the Koch Scholarship. Why did you even apply?
So I applied to the Koch Scholarship because my friend, who is a year above me, encouraged me to apply. And she told me, like, what a great experience it was and how, like, even being part of the application process, it, like, really helps you reflect on what you've done in your past 4 years, things like that. But I actually almost didn't apply because it was just, like, such a huge time investment in the application, and the incredibly low acceptance rate was, like, what are the chances that I'll get it? And it was like at the same time as college apps. So it was like kind of, there was a lot going on, but I did end up applying. And obviously I'm super grateful that I did.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, what did you highlight in your scholarship? And another way of asking is, why do you think you were awarded the scholarship?
Mm-hmm. I think, so the Koch scholarship really values like community impact and like, as well as like academic, like success and curiosity. And mm-hmm. I feel like there's just a lot of people with who probably have the same awards as me, who probably do like very similar extracurriculars. But I think like what made me stand out was like my story. So like with the essays, I really tried to emphasize like why I was passionate about the things that I had done in high school and like what motivated me. And I think mm-hmm. like showing that like human aspect in my application really helped the people who are reviewing my application to connect with me and to like see my high school life through my point of view.
How do you think this is going to make a difference being a Koch scholar? Is that, I know it's just been a few months, but where mm-hmm. do you see this going, or how do you see this impacting you?
Yeah. Already, I feel like it's made such an impact. Like at the Koch Scholars Weekend, there were so many very accomplished students who are also like, who also had a similar mindset to make an impact in their communities. And it was really interesting to see how they all did that in their own ways. Like you can make an impact by running like a global organization, or you can just teach a workshop to students like in your area. So it was really interesting to see how there are so many ways to make an impact in the world. And I'm definitely like taking a lot of advice from them and just like being inspired from all of their work. And I feel like these connections are so infinitely valuable. And the Koch Scholars Network is just like people who are just as ambitious. And there's like so many people that are Koch Scholars who like I'll probably meet somebody in my career or in my industry where they have the experience of being a Koch scholar, and that's like something that I can connect with. Mm-hmm. And obviously college is expensive and the scholarship money is super helpful. And actually I think like a month ago, my older sister actually told me something that really stuck with me, which is that like being a Koch scholar, it gives you like a leg up in job or internship applications, or just like finding like really great opportunities immediately. It's kind of like a gold star to people that you're meeting that makes people confident in your abilities to do things. And mm-hmm. I feel like that is very important to me. Yeah.
No. I mean, I think congratulations on the scholarship, and I'm sure you'll do great things. And they certainly picked a right kind of person, I can tell you that from just listening to you. Okay, so what's next? What does your future look like? How are you viewing it? What kind of things are you looking forward to?
I guess like as of right now, I'm really looking forward to starting college and taking college courses and trying to figure out what I want to major in. Mm-hmm. I guess like this is really weird, but I feel like when I was applying to college before I knew where I was going, it felt like I kind of had one path that I needed to choose that I could go down. But now that I'm like at the cusp of going into college, it's like completely flipped, where now I feel like there's a billion paths that I could see my future in. Like, what if I just went and became a lawyer, or like I went to do like environmental engineering? It's just like there's so many ways that my future would go, and I have no idea. So this like summer between high school and college is kind of like a limbo where I don't know what I'm doing, and I'm really excited to find out.
And so in that vein, as we start winding down here, Anna, what kind of advice would you give high schoolers who are looking at college next year or in a few years? What should they be doing? What kind of advice would you have for them?
I think like what I wish somebody told me in high school or when I just started high school is that you can like make your own path. You can do whatever you want. Because I feel like people always told me like, oh, you have to do like computer science or you have to like choose one and stick with it. But I feel like it's really benefited me to be able to explore all of my different interests rather than like choosing a spike. Or like people always say like you shouldn't be well-rounded, which I feel like is completely wrong. Like being well-rounded is definitely very important to be like a holistic student. And then also like you can make a impact, like a community impact, through any passion that you're interested in. Like with beekeeping, I feel like lots of people consider it as like a solo endeavor, but I've definitely tried to make an impact with my beekeeping abilities. And like, mm-hmm. I go locally, I go to schools and communities, and I talk about the importance of bees. And it really does like make a difference in the community. And you might think like, oh, like what can a beekeeper do? But actually like a beekeeper can do a lot. And same with like any interest that you are passionate about.
No, I mean, I think it's, you know, at the minimum, it makes for an exciting topic and an icebreaker wherever you go. I can tell you.
Absolutely.
Okay, so Anna, this has been a fascinating conversation. You're on to some amazing things in the future. You've done some great stuff. I hope you bring the same spirit and energy to whatever you do. And I wish you all the luck at Stanford and beyond. And I'm sure we'll talk along the way. But for right now, take care, be safe. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for the interview. It was definitely a really great experience.
Okay. Take care then. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hi again. Hope you enjoyed our podcast with Anna Yang. Anna has nurtured and built on her love for poetry to become the Youth Poet Laureate of Santa Clara County, to express herself and as a vehicle for her social activism. Her love for exploration has led her to a hobby like beekeeping, which she loves. Winning the Coca-Cola scholarship has been a big boost to her social activism, in addition to making her part of the community of Coke Scholars. I wish Anna all the best at Stanford University and beyond. I hope this podcast inspires you through high school as you prep for your own college journey. For your questions or comments on this podcast, please email podcast@almamatters.io. Thank you all so much for listening to our podcast today. Transcripts for this podcast and previous podcasts are on almamatters.io/podcasts. To stay connected with us, subscribe to Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or Spotify, or visit anchor.fm/almamatters to check us out. Till we meet again, take care and be safe. Thank you.
College matters.
Alma matters.